What's going on, Real Ass fans? This is the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez. Did you know that we do this show live twice a week, every Monday and Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern? You can watch the show live exclusively at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Gas Digital members not only get the live stream, but you also get the video version of the show, live chat, archived episodes, plus brand new episodes 5 days before they go to Google Play, iTunes, or anywhere else. We've also got a bunch of other great shows on the network, like The Joss the Show, Legion of Skanks, Bruce Buffer's It's Time, and brand new, starting right now, Believe You Me, with UFC middleweight champion Michael the Count Bisping. That's GasDigitalNetwork.com. When you check out, use the promo code RAP, and you save $1 on monthly membership. Plus, you get a 14-day free trial to see if you like it. That's just $6 per month. That's GasDigitalNetwork.com. Promo code RAP when you check out. And even if you can't subscribe for the exclusive content, you can still help us out by going to iTunes right now, subscribing for free for the audio version, leaving us a positive review and a 5-star ranking. Thanks for listening. Keep being a real ass dude.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
What's up, motherfuckers? It's your boy, Luis J. Gomez. Blah, blah. Oh, shit. Mike Feeney makes it right on time. Ooh. I didn't even intro anyone yet. I can't even fucking hate on you, bitch. I can't even hate on you, bitch, because you fucking made it.
You know how I made it?
How'd you make it?
Longboard.
No.
Yeah?
Go get your longboard. Let me see it right now. Are you fucking kidding me, bro? Are we boarding today?
We're boarding.
Doggy, are we boarding today? Oh, we're
boarding. The audience certainly is.
It was okay, Zach. That is the international superstar, Zach Amico.
Hello, it's
He's
your other boy.
My nigga, let me see. Okay, this is not that big, but it's heavy, dude.
Heavy because it's legit.
Doggy, it's heavy. Did Brooklyn Brewery give this to you?
Yeah, Bustin. They made it with a collaboration with Bustin, which is one of the best skateboard companies in Brooklyn.
No, they stink. But Pennyboard's a company to go with, but it's okay. This is pretty cool, though. I dig this. This is fun. So these are cruiser wheels, though. This is the same shit that I do.
You can fucking fly with those.
Yeah?
Things.
I'm going to try it afterwards.
Try it. Yeah.
So look, this Bustin, they stink. Make sure you check out Pennyboards, though, guys. They're the fucking best.
Is Penny sponsoring you?
No, but I really want them to. Yeah, I had our ad sales guy, I had him reach out to them, and he was like, dude, like, he's just buying penny boards right now. It's a problem. He's buying them like they're fidget spinners. I have another one coming.
Yeah. I feel like you're buying it enough that they'd like notice the spike in sales. They're like, who?
Yeah, who? What is going on?
Our sales are among Puerto Ricans just tripled this month.
We've never sold to a brown person ever. A brown person or a person
with 300% growth in Harlem right now.
Exactly.
A person over 22 or a brown person. Like, literally, I'm a completely different demo.
Yeah.
Puerto Rican deadbeat dads, they're going to be zipping back and forth. Think about the amount of money that could be saved on gas if Puerto Rican deadbeat dads are just grabbing their fucking toddlers and babies, throwing them on their chest on one of those chest straps, and then jumping on a petty board.
Yeah.
Is it dangerous? I don't know.
Good luck getting that child support. They're fucking...
Oh, you know
here.
What you could even do? I just fucking real. This is brilliant. Brilliant, okay? But the dad doesn't have time, but also wants to be safe. You could put babies as elbow pads, knee pads, and as your helmet, strap them to each. So not only do you get around with all... This could be what Jim Gaffigan does, because he's got 5 kids.
Yeah.
Not only do you get around fast and efficiently, but you have all your fucking kids with you. And then if you trip and fall, they break your fall.
Yeah.
Imagine
you
just falling on your knees, just... Well, now I only have 3 kids. That's okay.
Yeah.
Is that dark? I don't know. Maybe it's dark. Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. Mike Feeney's here. What's up, nigga?
What's going on, bro?
Hi. Dave Kinney's here. What's up, my nigga?
Oh, you know, chilling.
You know, when I do bring 2 white guys on every show for the most part, and you guys do represent the whitest of the white.
Do we?
So, white power, guys. Good for you guys.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Fuck yeah. Listen, we got a lot to talk about today. I quit my job at SiriusXM today, and I want to get into that in just a moment here. But let's get the plugs out of the way, because it's going to be a hot show already, Shannon. I already feel it. It's hot. This is how this part of the song goes.
Song stinks.
Are you fucking kidding me? I heard this in a commercial, and I was like, Shannon, play that Let's Set the World on Fire song. And this is what it sounds like?
It's awful. It's You've never great. Heard this song before?
It sounds like a bunch of fucking...
Put on Solid Like a Rock.
It's not great. It's funny because the lyrics are so metal. It's like Set the World on Fire, but the sound is not metal at all.
Can you move on to the part that everyone likes and knows? They didn't include this in a commercial. There we go. That's the part that we all like. This is an old song, isn't it?
You know, they were, yeah, it's like 4 years old, but they were also they were like a band for like 20 years, and this was their first hit.
All right, Feeny, we know. You know everything about
no,
Irish.
No, I fucking
history.
Hate them. And they're not Irish. Their name
they
is,
sound Irish.
Their name is Fun.
They sound Irish. I assume they were from Ireland. No. Where are they from?
Gayville.
Nailed.
That was so bad that it was good. Sometimes you just we just fucking
suck town.
Bro, don't tag my bit, you know?
I should. It was so bad. It was good. I liked it. All right, so plugs. Fiendog.
What's up, everybody? Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at IamMikeFeeney. Listen to my goddamn podcast at Irish Goodbye Podcast. And August 11th, come to New York Comedy Club. Check out On the Offensive. It's a great show. And 8:15, Roastmasters at the Stand.
Fuck yeah, brother.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, Manoog. What's up, Kenny?
This weekend, I'm in the Comedy Zone in Greenville, South Carolina. If you're one of the five people who live there, definitely come out to that show.
Some people come out and support. Show them some skank hands. When Kenny gets on stage, go, pru, 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 pru.
Or don't. You don't have to.
That's how you listen to me. It's
no,
either my
to.
Fans or you're about to be robbed. One or the other.
I don't know, I don't know how to interpret it. I just have to wait for
Dave Kenny will. If you rob him, he's probably not going to waste time going to the cops.
Because I'm not a fucking snitch.
If you got robbed at gunpoint, would you even call the cops? I would assume they would never be able to find those kids, and I wouldn't even waste my time.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. So, guys, rob Dave Kenny.
He literally said he'll do nothing about it.
100% get away with it.
I accidentally plugged mugging me. Yes. come out to Comedy Zone, and yeah, I mean, take all my belongings. I'll do nothing about it. But yeah, on Twitter, at David Kinney, KINNEY. And I get a website, savingthedolphins.com. Just joking about a terrible football team that I have an abusive relationship with.
Fuck yeah, you do. Zachy.
Twitter and Instagram, Zach is not funny. I'll be at the New Jersey Horror Con coming up and a bunch of other stuff with my new movie, Return to Nukem High, Volume 2. Check it out.
Fuck yeah, niggas. Also, check my shit out. July 29th, I'm co-headlining Laugh It Up Poughkeepsie with Mike Racine. Just posted that link today, so go grab tickets if you're in the Poughkeepsie area. It's a 9 p.m. show. Right after the show, directly afterwards, we're zipping over to a fucking sports bar and we're going to watch a UFC fight. So we're going to fucking hang out, laugh a little bit, get a little crazy, get a little stoned, get a little drunk, and then go watch some fist fights and eat some chicken wings. How good does that sound?
Fuck yeah.
What other comedian is inviting his fans to watch fucking cage fighting with him after the show? It doesn't happen. You only get that experience with the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake. We're charging another $12. You got to pay me $12 to come along, but it's okay. And a two-drink minimum. You got to buy two drinks. No, you don't. Obviously, come hang out with us. August 24th to 26th, I'll be at the Sacramento Punchline with Nate Bargatze. August 27th, headlining in San Francisco, venue TBA. I'm going to get you guys the venue. I promise. I promise it's happening. I will not let it happen. 27th, save the date. If you're in San Francisco, you will have that information very soon. August 28th through September 1st, I'll be in Los Angeles at various venues. Also, make sure if you guys want to check out the Roastmasters, which, you know, everyone in this room has done. Such a fun show. New York City's best comedians roasting the shit out of each other. Celebrity guests at the judges' table every week. Michael Che, Big J, Rich Voss. Almost every single week, those guys are there, plus a ton of other people. Free tickets at thestandnyc.com if you use the promo code RAP. Free tickets to see the Roastmasters. It's selling out every week. The past 3 weeks in a row, it's been selling out every single week. So do that now if you want to come. We've got some crazy battles coming up. GomezComedy.com, Gomez Comedy on Instagram, at Louis J. Gomez on Twitter. And right now, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star ranking and a positive review. We're going to pick one random reviewer every single month. In July right now, we're halfway through, one random reviewer every single month. They win a free t-shirt. You could review over and over again, by the way.
Be careful about that, because I got fucked on that.
Why? How'd you get fucked?
That's technically illegal now, because it's called incentivizing people for fake reviews. And if iTunes finds that out, they could cancel your... Be careful about that.
Do not do that. You're not giving away t-shirts.
Yeah, I got it.
We will take away your t-shirts if you do that.
Yeah.
We're sending it for unrelated.
I swear to God, I'll show you the email. Yeah, they...
They emailed you about what?
Them. It was a fan who was like, you can't do that because I work.
Pull it up in a minute. Yeah. Hold on. The jury's out on that guy still. Keep on reviewing.
Makes sense why it would be illegal, though.
Guys, look, review. Something might happen. I'm just saying.
Hey, maybe Sheridan's up at your place. Maybe it doesn't. Who knows?
Who knows how you got that real ass podcast t-shirt?
And who knows why it showed up? There's no way to
know. I don't even know. What'd you do for that shirt? Did you buy it? Did it just show up one day in the mail?
No way to know.
Was it a gift?
You want me to read it?
Divine intervention?
I'll do it when you're done.
Okay, all right, turn the music off, Shannon. Read this real quick.
Okay, I just want to give you a heads up. It's now illegal to incentivize positive reviews. I work as a marketing manager, and it can result in an FCC fine, and I'm guessing it probably breaks iTunes Terms of Service.
I'm guessing it breaks.
Well, it definitely breaks iTunes.
Does the FCC even control podcasts?
Shut the fuck up. This guy is a fucking faggot. What's his name?
I thought it was a woman, and she was very nice.
Yeah, exactly. Point proven. I didn't even know it was a woman, but I was like, this must be a fag because the way this person is talking right now, he is speaking very womanly. So you're right. I was right. It's a woman.
Yeah, I thought the FCC only regulated the radio waves.
The FCC can't fuck with me.
I didn't know they had any control over podcasts.
But iTunes Terms of Service, you can't illegally... Do whatever the fuck you want. Do whatever you want.
Feeny, did she say, and it probably breaks iTunes service? She said probably.
Let me see. Well, she doesn't work for iTunes.
She's
just a marketing...
stupid bitch.
All right. Well, you do your own thing. I can't wait till this is off. You're like, oh, we got to fucking throw it off iTunes and just check us out on Just Cast. We're on SoundCloud now.
Download us on Kazaa.
Yeah. We got Bear Share.
Listen to me. Okay?
Just telling you.
Listen to me. I'm telling you right now, okay, that is not against the rules. We're going to find out. Shannon, you have to do a little research for me. Find out if that's against the rules because I don't believe that. And she's just a dummy, okay? She's talking about some crazy, stupid fucking rule. I mean, what did you do on iTunes that made her...
Well, we did the same exact thing. We were like, anybody who leaves a 5-star review, we're going to pick out a couple people and give away some sweet-ass Irish Goodbye podcast grinders.
Grinders, not as good as a t-shirt.
Better than a t-shirt.
No,
significantly grinders. Better. Has way more use. And the grinders are next level compared to the
first of all, you can't... You want to know why people want merch for a podcast? You want to know why? Because they want to rep the podcast.
They are every time. Okay, they
No. And then they want to be walking down the street and they want to see another person. They want to lock eyes with some other fucking neckbeard. And they go, "Oh shit, you also." It happens very rarely.
I say, I'm on it actually.
Yeah. But then they go, "Oh shit, you're a fan. Sure. You're a fan," and they have a thing there. Nobody pulls out their grinder and goes, "Hey, everyone, look at my grinder."
No, but if you're smoking with people, and
you really listen to the podcast with them.
Yeah, tell that to Ari Shaffir. What a terrible idea!
Oh, no, Ari checking Shaffir. Out someone's grinder. Also, I mean, like when you're smoking weed, I feel like you're not like, wait a minute.
You have no idea how great these grinders.
Yeah, I every grinder I've ever had, I've never even looked at it.
Next level, it's crazy. Yeah. It even has a little pouch to hold your greens. Oh, it's crazy.
Do not support that show, guys.
Yeah, fuck you.
They got stupid ideas that I don't like. I gotta be honest with you. I'm trying to be on your side, Fiend Dog.
Just
but
saying.
You got dumb
just
ideas.
Saying.
This is why you want to work with Gas Digital because you know we're going to fucking.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, we're going to be able to bring you to the next level because your ideas stink, but you're very funny. So, all right, let's. I got to talk about what, Shannon?
Oh, I have the.
You have the actual answer.
Yeah.
God, Shannon, it's great.
So it says developers who attempt to manipulate or cheat the user reviews or chart ranking in the App Store with fake or paid reviews. Or any other any other inappropriate methods will be removed from the iOS developer
fake or
program.
Paid. That's not paid.
That is paid.
It says or other inappropriate methods.
Yeah, how's that inappropriate?
Because you're incentivizing. You go do this, and I'll give you
suck my dick. That's not inappropriate. That is literally engaging with my fans in the way that iTunes should want me to.
It should, but
hold
they
on.
Don't.
iTunes should hold on. Let me say this. If I own iTunes, I want people utilizing the application in every way possible. I want them using the reviews. I want them going and fucking downloading other podcasts, clicking on every part of it. Right. I'm bringing organic fans to their platform every single time. They're not fake. I'm not buying them. I'm not manipulating anything. I'm literally incentivizing them to use the platform. And it's not saying I'm paying you to go give me fake reviews. It's just having them go and do it. I don't think that breaks the terms of use. But Shannon, what I'm going to have you do now, because Mike Feeney obviously loves you to fucking work like a slave because it's white privilege, is I need you to contact iTunes and make sure that that's okay for us to do.
That's going to be a great argument in appeals court when you guys get taken off.
They're not taking us to court.
That could take you off. I'm saying when you appeal it. When
what's
they go,
the
you're
worst?
Gone.
Literally, what's the worst thing that can happen? Do you think they're going to take me off? Do you don't think they send me an email first and go, "Hey, just so you know, that's not cool. You guys have 12 fucking podcasts on this platform.
Our 5 million podcasts.
A million downloads a month. Are you kidding me?
Joe Rogan gets a warning for sure.
A week.
It's definitely a good idea to email ahead of time like you're doing now.
Look,
you can apologize to Megan whenever you're ready.
Megan's a whore, and I literally hope she gets pushed.
I think she's a fan of you.
Is she? Oh, never mind. Yeah. Megan, you're hot.
She already has it.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the dilly. I got to talk about SiriusXM for a minute because I literally just quit just before I got here.
Oh, shit.
When I posted about today's show the first time, I had not yet quit SiriusXM. Okay, where to start here? Okay, so I've been working at SiriusXM for 3 years or so, 4 years. I don't even know, okay? I started working on Tap Out Radio, which was, you know, the Tap Out brand. And then I was hired as, and that was for free. I was coming in for Tap Out Radio literally for free every single week for a year. Just because I wanted to be on the radio and I thought it was, you know, a good in. Because I met the producers for the MMA channel. And this isn't just SiriusXM. Let me make this very clear. It's not just SiriusXM. This is specifically SiriusXM Rush 93. It's this channel. So I don't want to say fuck SiriusXM altogether. But fuck MMA on Sirius. I'll say that much. Fuck SiriusXM Rush 93. Which is a shame because the director of that channel, Marissa Rivas, is an incredible person, good friend of mine, and currently hosts a show on Gas Digital. So she hosts Say It Ain't Snow, the Game of Thrones recap show that they do seasonally. So it's a shame because I know she fucking really fought for this and she wanted to make it work, but she couldn't. And it is what it is. There's fucking people that are above her that make the decisions and it stinks. But long story short, Michael Bisping a few weeks ago didn't show up for one of his shifts, okay? Which has happened a few times. You know, to be honest with you, he's super busy. It's happened probably like 4 or 5 times in the past couple of years since we've been doing the countdown. It happens once in a blue. You know what I'm saying? It's for, you know, personal reasons. He had some stuff going on. He just fucked up and didn't communicate through the proper channels, and they freaked out, okay? So they put him on suspension for a week, and last week they were like, all right, well, we got to suspend him indefinitely. And they asked me, they're like, will you host, what?
Is this real?
Just wait for it, please. I'm in the middle of something.
Perfect timing.
It's fine. So, last week they hit me up and they were like, all right, we have to suspend Bisping indefinitely. Will you come on Thursday? We're taking off the countdown altogether. We're not going to call it the countdown. We're going to put together a new show with you and AJ Hawk, who is an NFL player.
Yeah, he played for the Packers.
Yeah, yeah. And I've done it. He filled in for Bisping one time in the countdown. I like AJ Hawk a lot. He's a fucking great dude, so I'm not disparaging him. Fucking super cool guy, great at podcasting, great at radio. But I was like, no. I was like, I'm not going to go and do another show in the same time slot without my co-host, Michael Bisping.
Sure.
We've been building a brand. At this point, we're friends. We're not just, it's not like we just fucking show up and do it. If I'm in LA, me and Bisping go have dinner. Well, you know, we'll go hang out. I'll come to the comedy shows. If he's in New York, it's the same thing. It's more than just a dude that I'm getting on an ISDN line with and you know, doing radio with. We become friends at this point. And, you know, I really like broadcasting with him. And it takes a while to build a brand with somebody. It takes a while to build a brand. It takes a while to build a dynamic. You know, you have to do shows over and over again. And me and Bisping spent a lot of time creating this fucking brand that I think is great. I think it's really funny. I think it's unique. I think we take a different take on MMA. You know, he's a ball buster. He's got a really thick skin. I like doing a show with fucking Michael Bisping, okay? So it's no knock on AJ Hawk. He's great. If they would have come to me before they came to me with Michael Bisping, I would have done a show with AJ Hawk in a heartbeat because he's the fucking man. He's a super cool guy. But I was like, no, I can't do that. I was like, I'm not going to just go do a show with somebody else that's an athlete in the same time slot. That's crazy. Me and Dave Smith have been talking about doing a morning show for SiriusXM Rush for like 2 fucking years. And they keep on putting it off. And I was like, why don't we do this? Since we've been talking about this test show and they're saying September maybe, blah, blah, blah. Why don't we do a test show on Thursday in our time slot? We won't even mention Bisping till we figure this out because I know he's suspended indefinitely. And then at least it'll buy us another week and see what's up. They were like, no, you can only do the show with AJ Hawk or nobody. So I was like, all right, well, fuck it. I quit. And this is last week. Okay. I was like, all right, I can't do it then. Sorry. It is what it is. I quit. So they came back to me like an hour later and they were like, all right, look, we spoke to the higher ups. They were like, go on Thursday, do the show by yourself. And I just did the show completely alone, me for 2 hours. And we called it the countdown and we just pretended that Bisping wasn't on that day. So I guess the fucking the higher up boss, whatever his name is, came in yesterday finally from vacation, and basically just said, no, we don't know when we're gonna bring Bisping back. You know, we're gonna kill the countdown for now. And if Lewis doesn't want to do the show with AJ Hawk, then that's that. We could re-examine him doing a morning show in September with Dave Smith. That's that. So, yeah. So I said, fuck it. I said, I don't want, number one, I'm not going to wait around for 2 months to see if I can maybe do a morning. They've been literally saying to me for 2 years, you can do a morning show with Dave Smith. So I'm not going to wait around another 2 fucking months. I already spoke to Bisping. We're going to end up just doing a second podcast every single week. We make, and I mean this, literally 6 times the amount of money on the podcast that we do on the radio show. I mean, not even close. And the podcast just started. It is just growing. But it is just a fucking, you know, I don't like, it's not even like my feelings are hurt. That's not even the term I would use. It's just, it's so like, it's so painfully obvious, like in the world of the quote unquote industry or SiriusXM or television, they have no fucking vision. There's no loyalty. There's no sense of like, holy shit, we have a guy who is fucking hustling his ass off, who loves doing radio, brings in a fan base. All the hosts on SiriusXM Rush, they're great dudes. They're great hosts, but they don't have a fan base. They don't fucking bring in, you know, viewers to the channel. Me and Bisping are like legitimately, you know, we have a following at the very least. Bisping's got 300,000 Twitter followers. Okay. Sure. It makes no sense to me that SiriusXM, there's just no sense of like let's bet on somebody for the future. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of the whole story. I mean, there's not really much else to it. It's fucking, you know, I'm going to move on.
Well, sounds like they still want you and Dave Smith, though, in a matter of weeks.
Maybe. I don't know, but fuck it. No, I don't want to do it. Fuck it. I'm not going to wait around a few months to see. That's literally money out of my fucking pocket. That's money out of my kid's pocket. Okay?
But why can't you do the podcast with Bisping and then also do the morning thing with Dave?
Because to be honest with you, I'm not trying to do all of these other shows. If I start another show with Bisping, that's that. I'm going to do another podcast with Bisping. I don't need to fucking spend every single day of my life doing show after show after show. The truth is I should be tightening my brand. You know, we had the countdown and we had Believe You Me. Dude, we went to SiriusXM. This is how fucking stupid they are, okay? We went to SiriusXM and said, hey, we want to do the podcast because it's in both of our contracts that we can do podcasts. Can we just call it the Countdown Podcast and make it a companion to the SiriusXM show? We're like, we'll literally brand it the same way. We'll use the same logos. They're so fucking stupid that they were like, no, it's got to be our brand. It's our thing. I'm like, you guys fucking stink at branding. Yeah. The logo fucking stinks. The fucking entire everything. There's no imaging surrounding it. There's no visual elements. There's literally nothing going on with the show. It's just a stale concept. Sirius Satellite Radio, they do nothing progressive. And by the time they think about something, now they're equipping the studios with cameras like podcasts were doing 3 fucking years ago. By the time they move forward with any ideas or get anything going on, the industry and technology has moved 2 or 3 steps ahead of them. Yeah. Right.
I mean, that show with you and Bisping, I don't even know if you know this. There was I was looking up, I think it was a videos about the McGregor-Mayweather fight that's going to happen. People are taking the clips, audio clips from your show with Bisping and putting it onto videos on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And like those videos have hundreds of thousands of views.
I went to my boss at SiriusXM. I said, guys, they're taking our clips. They're putting it on YouTube. They're getting hundreds of thousands of views. The exact thing that you just said.
Yeah.
Instead of hosting our clips
on
SoundCloud.
I mean, I found one of the videos on accident. I was just looking at the video and I was like, oh, these voices sound familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like the fact that it's being done, well, like so bootlegged because they're not doing it themselves.
It's stupidity. I said, guys, why did we not have a SiriusXM Rush YouTube channel? I came in for a meeting with the bosses at SiriusXM. Sure. Why don't we have a YouTube channel? Why are we hosting on SoundCloud and getting 600 hits on our SoundCloud page? Whereas sure. People are taking our clips, yeah. Throwing it on YouTube and getting hundreds of thousands of views. Why aren't we doing that?
Especially for viral shit. I mean, like, the opinions of someone like Michael Bisping on the Mayweather-McGregor fight, I mean, that's... Every video like that on YouTube is getting 1 million views. Yep. So the fact that they're not cutting it on their own, I mean, those should be your views. You
it's
know?
Fucking... listen to me. It's just stupid. I mean, I remember I went for a meeting, and it's maybe it's just the sports department because, you know, I don't know. Every department is different. Like, you know... Big J and Soder, they're on Comedy Central Radio. So that's separate from Sirius altogether. That's produced by Comedy Central. They basically buy their slot on the channel, right?
Sure.
Ralph, can we buy a slot on SiriusXM? Technically, we could, right? Can we buy a gas digital channel on SiriusXM? It can't be that much.
That'd be great.
Shannon, you're fired. We need to buy a channel on SiriusXM.
You just walk right back into Sirius, like, guess who's back in town?
But I went into them, and this is how, like, this is the way they think. This is the people that were in a, they did, like, a host training meeting. They do these, like, quarterly meetings, and it's so fucking stupid. But I play the fucking game, right?
Sure.
I go into these meetings. Let me tell you
something. Thing number one, do not rape. Why am I the only one in this meeting?
Listen to me. I would go in, okay? I went into this thing, and when I'm in a meeting, I was like the best fucking student in the class. I sit in the front. I raise my hand. I'm answering questions. I'm very engaged because I want to show them that I know what the fuck is up. Not only am I a good host, but I produce a ton of shows, right? So I look at things. I step back sometimes, and I literally look at it the way a producer would look at it. I listen back to every single one of these shows. I watch back every single one of these shows because I'm constantly trying to make myself better, okay? Now, I go into this fucking old, fogey, shitty sports meeting for SiriusXM Sports. It's not even Rush. It's for sports. And the training they're giving us, they're saying, well, you know, people on average only listen to each of our shows for 13 minutes. So if you want to just repeat the content in segment two that you did in segment one, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, Jesus.
This is a quote from a fucking higher up in SiriusXM Sports. And I literally went, okay, you guys have fucking no idea how to build an audience. Yeah. You have no idea how to build a show. You have no idea how to fucking market yourselves or build a brand. With the resources that SiriusXM has, okay? I mean, fuck that, dude. Gas Digital has, 100,000th of the resources that SiriusXM has. How are we doing a better job building out brands for our shows than they are? Okay? We have, everything from having visual elements, really nice graphics involved, fucking, you know, the
Shannon.
Having Shannon. They don't have anybody as good as Shannon over SiriusXM. But there's literally none of that. Me and Bisping are doing Believe You Me, and it's just growing and growing and growing. It's over 100,000 downloads already within a matter. We're at 20 episodes, okay? Like that. I get no social media fucking hits off of SiriusXM. We do our show every single week. Been doing it for 2 years. I get nothing. Sure. Nothing. Because you know what? Their brand, they've designed their brand to be background noise. Yeah. They've designed what their entire content is driven to be background noise. And instead of moving with the industry and going like, oh, you know, on demand is where it's at and it's going to be podcasts of the future, they're afraid of it. Sure. So I feel like they're almost trying to shut down that side of it. They don't encourage people to go on demand. They're not pushing that side of it. If I was SiriusXM, I would have SiriusXM Podcast Network, and every fucking show on my fucking on SiriusXM would have content on that podcast network. Yeah. The producers would all have podcasts. All the producers from SiriusXM from those shows would have podcasts on that network. We do co-branded podcasts. Sam Roberts does a fucking podcast outside of SiriusXM. Why? Why did The Countdown do a podcast outside of SiriusXM? Why is Big J doing a podcast outside of SiriusXM?
You know,
they don't know how to tighten their fucking brand. They have no idea.
ESPN just started doing podcasts as
I'm sure
well.
They did.
Yeah, with all the popular shows. Even if it's just like interviews with like, you know, whoever they interview, like the manager of the Yankees or whatever, they still put it in podcast form afterwards so you can listen on demand if you missed it. Yeah.
Well,
it's great.
I liked having it in my profile because it looks good in my bio.
Sure.
Looks good. It looks Sirius better XM. Than a podcast. It looks, when I say, you know, the host of SiriusXM, The Countdown, it looks fucking good. But it's all that is, it's smoke and mirrors. It's stupidity. I mean, this podcast right here, the Real Ass Podcast, is 100 times more valuable than The Countdown in terms of fans, in terms of money, in terms of, you know, building a brand. I was just kind of doing it as an aside.
Yeah, I think so much of that format, too. I think so much of that format, the whole repeat the same 15 minutes, like, all the time. I mean, A, it's such an outdated format, but B, I think you have that format as an apology for inferior on-air talent.
Yeah.
Because if your talent sucks, I mean, what you want to do is give out the time and weather and traffic. I mean, that's more local radio, but it's...
That's
you,
the way...
You have all this shit to cover up for lack of talent. When you have actual talent, though, you don't need that shit. I mean, that's why the whole podcast format, that long form... Because when you have people who know what the fuck they're talking about, let them talk.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be married to that format. I mean, but that's why everyone...
30 minutes past the hour, guys. 91 degrees out.
GWB is backed up as far as the eye can see.
Exactly.
All right, let's fucking... I want to move on. That's it. But yeah, I'm no longer doing a gig at Sirius. I believe you me, will be twice a week. I just texted Bisping about that, and he asked if I wanted to do it twice a week. So, and I know we're doing a video version of the show as well. So fuck him. You know, fuck them.
I agree.
It's just annoying. I was set up so nicely.
Yeah.
It was set up so that, like, my SiriusXM money was direct deposited into my son's mother's bank account.
It's pretty good.
So it was just like, so like, I just was like, here, take all that money. I don't have to worry about anything. And even as I got raises, like, I was just like, all right, I'm not even going to just like, just keep it. Just keep on fucking taking that money. Right. And it was just so nice. So nice.
Convenient.
And now I have to fucking fire Shannon as my personal assistant in order to make up that money.
That's it.
Shannon,
boy.
You got to find like $1,200 a month for me somewhere. Find it. If you can find it, you keep your job as my personal assistant. I got to squeeze some dough.
Why don't you go to the Comedy Central networks on Sirius, man?
I contacted Don Wicklund from Faction Talk months ago. I've been talking to Don Wicklund for like 6 months about me, Dave, and Zach doing a show. I was trying to get them to compete against each other. They don't want to fucking pull the trigger either. This, but way before Opie was off the channel, way before, you know, I've known Don a while. You know, this is, but literally, I saw him in Moon Tower. We were talking before Moon Tower, and we were supposed to do a test show and blah, blah, blah. But the truth is, they don't want to fucking pull the trigger. I don't know if you want. Here's what I say, right? If me, Dave Smith, and Zach Amico did a show, whatever it is, whatever the show is, you call it whatever, right?
Sure.
I feel like that would be an incredible fucking show. Very different from The Bonfire, very different from Jim and Sam, very different from what everyone else is offering on SiriusXM. And I think that me and Dave, we have, you know, very different perspectives. We agree a lot, but we see differently. Zach is one of the funniest motherfuckers. I could snipe him with the funniest shit. I pitched them this show, and then I also said, look, Legion of Skanks has hundreds of thousands of downloads. I promise you, those fans will follow us over. If all the Bonfire fans will become fans of it, all the Jim and Sam fans will become fans of it, all the Legion of Skanks fans will become fans of it, I'm telling you, me, Dave, and Zach on a fucking radio show.
With Mike Feeney as a fourth
with Mike Feeney coming in once in a blue would be a special fire show. And I pitched that to Faction Talk. I pitched that to SiriusXM years ago. That was the original pitch. And nobody wants to fucking pull the trigger, so we'll just keep on doing fucking podcasts. I don't know what else you want me to tell you. I don't want to fight for a SiriusXM show for, you know, a few $100 a show. It's not enough money to go and build the brand. And also the fact that there's no vision there. There's no loyalty. I mean, that's crazy. Listen to me. I'm loyal as a fucking dog. You said fuck over Michael Bisping. I say no fucking way. I don't do that, okay? I'm loyal to my fucking co-hosts. They should have been loyal to me. They should have said to me, hey, you know what? You came for a year for Tap Out Radio. You spent 2 years now on this channel. You do it for a fraction of what you're worth. We know we're paying you $100 less. Every time we give you a raise per year, we know we're giving you $100 less than you're actually fucking worth. And I just do it without bitching, just for the sake of fucking doing it. I couldn't be, in my opinion, any more of a model employee. I'm there every single week. I mean, whatever they need me to do in terms of like extra shit, going out on, you know, and manning street stuff, whatever. I'm so fucking down for all that shit. And the loyalty they showed me was like, all right, sorry, dude. It's not even loyalty. They're going, hey, dude, don't be loyal or goodbye. That's it. So either you're a fucking piece of shit, you're like us. We want you to show absolutely no loyalty, or that's it, or we're fucking done with you. So it's even more fucked up. It's actually even more fucked up because they're putting me in a situation where I have to go like, fuck, dude, am I gonna take money out of my pocket, you know, which essentially goes to my kid. I mean, it's not like my kid's not gonna feel the effects of it. I'm gonna feel the effects of it, obviously. But am I gonna take money out of my pocket, or am I going to show no loyalty to a guy that I've become friends with?
And also, in fairness, a guy who's also a trained killer, probably not the best person.
you're like,
he's such a nice guy. But really, like, the reality is you just don't want, there's enemies you don't want in this world.
No,
and I feel like that's,
first of all, his first thing that he said to me was, dude, you don't have to quit the fucking thing. But that's it. I don't feel right. I would come in and I would phone it in. Sure. I would not be able to do the show with AJ Hawk feeling the way that I feel about it.
Sure.
And it's a shame. And AJ Hawk doesn't deserve that. AJ Hawk deserves a fucking, you know, a fucking host that's pumped about working with an, you know, NFL Heisman Trophy. I don't know what the fuck he won. I don't watch football. Sorry, AJ. I love you, brother. He listens to these shows too. So I want to make it very clear. I really like AJ. AJ Hawk's dope. He started becoming a fan after Compound Media. He hit me up. He was like, dude, I'm a huge fan. He was like, I'd love to do a podcast with you sometime. And then they randomly put him in on Rush one day. So super cool fucking guy. But yeah, that's it. Let's move on. Sorry, I'm ranting. I invited you guys in here to watch me rant about SiriusXM. So I apologize. All right. So, let's talk about some of this other shit. Ari Shaffir fucked me in the ass on a special. You know, I gotta be honest with you. These people, these hoes ain't loyal. Ari Shaffir bent me over, and he fucked me in the ass on his special.
How was that?
Double negative.
Available now on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. Shannon, will you pull up the clip? Pull it up on the big screen. I want to show them.
Yeah, I'd seen this.
Our friend Luis Gomez is one of those people.
Pause it.
He's a comedian in New York.
What the fuck did he just call me, Shannon? Rewind
it. Comedian in New York.
How dare he?
He's got a lot of nerve.
Go again.
Our friend Luis Gomez is one of those people.
Luis?
He's a comedian in New York. He got his girlfriend pregnant. They were dating for like 2 months. And I was like, what are you going to do? By the way, nobody asked a married couple, what are you going to do?
It's a great joke.
I love that he name checked you fully. Well,
not fully.
Almost. Not fully.
Almost.
Not fully. The name is Luis J. Gomez. It does nothing for me if you say Luis Gomez. It does nothing.
Who is Luis Gomez?
There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, like, I mean, going back to even, like, when you were, like, fucking, like, 22, 23, someone would be like, fucking, like, Luis Gomez is a fucking faggot, and you'd be like, Luis J. Gomez.
If it makes you feel any better, I just did an interview with him for The Chive yesterday, and he was saying, the question was, what are some of the funniest people that you know? And he said, I think he might have actually said Luis Gomez.
Oh, God. Some other comedian.
Ari. I interviewed him yesterday for that. For a video.
And he said Luis Gomez?
I'd have to. I'm not.
Is it up online right now?
No. We just shot it yesterday. He might have. But he did say you're one of the funniest people that
no,
he knows.
That's how he gets me to not beat him up. He knows he's just fucking
with
me.
He might have said. I don't know if he said the J. I'm not for sure. Okay. I'm actually pretty confident he wouldn't have said the J.
First of all, Ari's special is great. Okay. I watched it. It's fucking phenomenal. Okay. But not only did he get the name wrong, okay, he also just completely made up a story about me.
Well,
how many people have name checked you specifically in
their
specials
or television shows? Nate Bargatze, the McDonald's story.
Yep.
Big J, the dog through the window story. Kurt Metzger, the story about the girl with one arm that I hooked up with.
You're like a muse.
Yeah. I wish I was amusing. Jesus, I can't even burn myself and get a laugh.
Oh, man.
Lewis attack. Hey, Shannon. We should put it together.
I don't even know what that was, but it was terrific.
It's a Lewis attack drop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do it to yourself.
Who else? Is there anybody else that have stories about
Did
me?
Did Soder mention you on something?
No, I think that's it.
But so...
Look, I'm the most enigmatic personality in podcasting and comedy, okay? There's nobody else like me. You can say what you want about me. You could fucking love me or hate me, okay? But there's nobody else like me. Completely unique. When people call me a hack, I'm like, do you know what a hack is? A hack is somebody who's copying somebody else. Who the fuck am I copying? I'm psychotic. Yeah. I'm not even like... I stopped caring about what people think probably like 2 or 3 years ago, completely. I ride around on a pink skateboard.
Feels like it's been longer.
No, I cared. That's the funny part. That's how that fucked up I used to be. Is I used to care what people would think, and I was still out there doing
what
I was doing.
And that's what he was presenting.
So what's wrong about the story? That's not a true story?
They were together way longer than
we were together for 2.5 years. Oh. We lived together for a year. He was like, oh, Lewis got his girlfriend pregnant. He was like, oh, what should I do? Should I run? No, Ari. You came to my home that I shared with her. Multiple times.
Did you not threaten to run away?
No. The real story of the matter, when my son's mother got pregnant, I was the one who was like, fuck, we're having a baby. She was the one who was very much like, we need to have a conversation about if we're having a baby. You know, she's mature.
It's just crazy to name check you, well, almost name check you, and then misrepresent something that's such a critical part of your life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot funnier this way.
I can make up stories about our dude. I got a Jewish friend who fucking kills Muslims with a flamethrower. It's pretty crazy, dude. He just walks through the streets and murders Muslims. That's okay, fine. That's the story about our right now.
Inflammatory.
It definitely is funnier the way that you.
Boo.
It definitely is funnier the way he did it. Would you rather him not mention your name and just do the joke the funnier way, or mention your name and completely the way it is?
I feel like every time my name is mentioned and Rogan sees it, it's just one step closer.
Okay.
To what, you going on there?
To me, well, to Rogan coming on this podcast. I don't even want to go on his podcast.
Or to him acknowledging presence?
No. He acknowledged my presence, bitch. You didn't see the fucking clip?
No. What clip?
Shannon, I might have to
I saw the live.
Shannon,
I saw the live LA interactions. It was,
Shannon, go pull it up.
Alpha dogs. Well, one alpha dog.
Listen, okay.
They just kind of sniffed each other.
Yeah. And then Lewis was like,
Rogan knows who I am. He knows.
No, he definitely knows who you are. Yeah. It's just a matter of.
He knows your scent.
You know what it is? I was always a very, like, I was like infamous. Even in like elementary school, like middle school, high school, I was the kid that everybody, and I wasn't crazy. People have this thing like, oh, Lewis is crazy. I was
a local legend.
I was under the line crazy, but I would go to that line.
You know, capable of that line.
Like, not there was no like real violence, or there was no real like, you know, fucking doing anything really crazy. I just I almost set a pizzeria on fire. I almost robbed a KFC. You know what I'm saying? I almost got into a lot of fights, but it was never really. I never really pushed it. The guys who pushed it over the line that I kind of created. We're fucking psycho, but they went to prison.
Yeah, when you say the line, I assume the line you're talking about is prison.
Yeah, I mean, but that's kind of what I mean, though. It's like, sure. I kind of, in a weird way, it's actually, it's almost like a pattern in my life. Like, I graduated high school, and I got a Regents diploma. In New York, there was Regents and local, right?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, they might have changed it now, but it was the Regents diploma was kind of like the higher level one. Honors was like, you're a fucking nerd. And then local was where the Puerto Ricans and blacks got, right? So I was like, I really want to get a Regents diploma. Even though I was a bad student, I was able to kind of mentally set myself there where I was just able to just skate by, just get the Regents diploma, just make it to prom, just barely graduate. You know, it's there's something about that. And I talk about it all the time about kind of setting goals and the secret and why we can survive. But it's very true. Like, I weirdly kind of like set a standard for myself and never really went over that line, you know? And I get why people would think I'm crazy because they hear the stories like, oh shit, dude, Luis Gomez almost hired, Luis J. Gomez almost robbed a KFC.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds crazy, but when you really consider it, I really just put on a ski mask, hid in the bushes, and put a screwdriver in my pocket. That act alone is not really that bad.
Yeah.
It's
weird. It's
It's not that
it's,
bad.
It's troubling.
I did was I took lighter fluid and a bunch of rags and I hid it behind the pizzeria because later on that night we were going to come and burn it down.
Oh, that's fun.
We didn't do it.
Did you have like one friend who was worse than you just to justify?
James Ciccone.
Yeah.
James Ciccone was my partner in crime for the pizzeria
burning. It has to be
down.
That way.
He just runs in, James M. Ciccone!
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that kid was, he wasn't even crazy to me. He was just like the kid, like, you know, he was, we were on Railroad Avenue where I grew up, which was like, just kind of like a ghetto block in this suburban area. It was this very strange area, West Haverstraw, North Rockland area. It was kind of broken up into like poverty and then like lower middle class. But the lower middle class felt rich to us poor kids. Like, you go into Stony Point, and they'd have like these like one level ranches. And I was like, oh man, if I could own, it's a mansion to me. You know, it was like so like crazy that people would even own a house, right? But that was kind of North Rockland. It was all kind of poor, the reality of it. But I was from like the really, really poor area. And Railroad Avenue was where I grew up. And it was like right in a row. It was Mike Guerrero, who I'm still friends with, James Ciccone, Lee Watkins, Paulino Hilario, who killed himself, which is just hilarious. His last name is Hilario, and he killed himself. It's hilarious in Spanish.
I hope you didn't bring that up in the eulogy.
No, I didn't. And who else was there? I don't know. Yeah, Anthony DeVito, who fucked the cat. DeVito. Yeah. It was a different Anthony DeVito. Yeah, that's right. I knew a kid named Anthony DeVito who fucked a cat. Not only fucked.
What does that
mean?
Like,
wasn't
penetrated
a rumor.
A cat?
Wasn't a rumor. Did it in front of people just to prove that he did it and would do it again.
Yikes.
Who was demanding that evidence?
Yeah.
Who? Like, he's like, Lewis? I fucked a cat, and someone was like, proof.
Lewis, probably.
I'm getting it. Yeah, that's the obvious answer.
He just coughs up a hairball.
Yeah.
He's like, you did it in front of people. People or you?
Foreplay.
Right on his dick.
Gonna need some evidence.
He starts looking it up. All right, guys, real quick, I wanted to talk about one of the sponsors on the show, which is Blue Apron, blueapron.com.
Woo.
Fiend Dog, you cook for your wife?
I cook sometimes, yeah. I'm a pretty good cook.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're not Blue Apron cook. You're not that good.
I'm not.
You're not that good? What's the last thing you made for your wife?
Little shrimp fried Diablo, maybe?
Garbaggio. Okay, listen to me. Terrible. Terrible choice. Blue Apron takes your choice it makes it so easy because you're not going like, oh, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna get shrimp, I'm gonna get green beans, I'm gonna get broccoli, I'm gonna get rice. There's all this other shit. There's a million flavors out there. There's all these different things. Who has the time to sit there and discover new flavors and new menus and new foods? It just doesn't happen. So what happens every single time you're cooking your wife this stupid shrimp dish? How many times do you cook her into the same dish over and over and over again?
You asshole.
It never stops, Fiend Dog. Well, guess what? Blue Apron's going to make it easy for you. They're going to make it easy for you to be super romantic, super creative. Let me tell you what Blue Apron is. It's the number one fresh ingredient delivery service in the world, okay? What they do is they send you a box of prepackaged ingredients, nice, easy-to-read recipe instruction cards. Step one to step whatever, you make your fucking food. You look like you are a culinary king. They have incredible fresh ingredients. They work with local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. It's also cheaper. You know what? How much did you spend when you to make your wife that shrimp dinner?
Too much.
$3,000 or so, I bet.
That's exactly
crazy.
How much. It's just a penny.
Blue Apron, each meal is on average less than $10 per person. So if you want to cook for your whole family, that's incredible. If you have a date coming in, boom, you're good. If you want to impress a business associate, you say, hey, why don't you come over, bro? I'll cook you a little bit of din-din. Let's rock and roll. You call it din-din. I'm being serious about this. So it's really incredible. I cook for my son now, and I see the look in his face every time I'm making him dinner. He feels, I mean, there's a legitimate bond there. He's helping me cook. My mom made me fucking TV dinners. I mean, literally, he's watching me put together incredible meals. I just made seared chicken and creamy pasta salad for him with summer squash and sweet peppers. I made him summer squash and sweet peppers. I didn't even know that squash came in different seasons. I ate squash in the winter. I had no idea it was winter squash. Okay, I made him summer squash. The look in the kid's face, he was like, holy shit, Dad, you would have never made me summer squash. What's going on here? I didn't tell him that I got this thing, but I cheated. But at the same time, he now loves me more than he loved me before I made him that meal. Guaranteed. Other recipes coming up right now that you guys can go grab right now. Creamy shrimp rolls with quick pickles and sweet potato wedges. Fresh basil fettuccine pasta with sweet corn and Cubanelle peppers. Chili butter steaks with Parmesan potatoes and spinach. Holy shit. Listen to me. You're not going to make this stuff for your wife, Feeny. Kenny, you're a lonely man. You're never going to make it for yourself. That's crazy. So why don't you order it? You could get a blow-up doll, put it in the chair. You can make her a meal, you a meal. You just eat it the next day as leftovers. It works as leftovers.
Hey, we can make it together.
Yeah.
I think Blue Apron just saved my marriage.
Yeah, you're goddamn right it did. So here's the deal, okay? It's super affordable. It's easy. It's flexible. Here's what you got to do, okay? We're not even asking you to spend money. We're giving you something for free. Just try it out. I'm telling you to try it out, and you can try out your first three meals absolutely free with free shipping. This is nothing out of your pocket. We're sending you three meals, free shipping. You're getting three boxes coming to your house. You get to cook for a date, your family, your friends, whoever you want. Go to blueapron.com/real. That's blueapron.com/real for this offer. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So do not wait. That is blueapron.com/real. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right, let's get back into it. If you're in a fucking animal, okay, cat's not the one. There's so many different areas of that cat that sucks to fuck, right? Listen.
I can't wait to hear your list.
Okay, first of all, a cat blowjob.
Terrible.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Talk about all teeth.
Yeah. Tiny mouth.
Sandpaper tongue.
Tiny mouth.
Sandpaper tongue.
Sharp, prickly, the same shape as thumbtacks.
Yeah.
Just all down, coming down. Like thumbtacks coming up and down. It is
it's like a bear trap for your dick.
It's an eighth the size of the smallest dick.
Yeah.
No matter how small your dick is, you're not getting it in. Let's say the cat is toothless. Let's say you knock this fucking cat's teeth out because you want a fucking blowjob. Then it's got a sandpaper tongue.
They're not even into being petted, so you got to assume that the cat's not going to be super into it.
No. They're not really into it. But hey, you know what, dude? If you drug this cat won't even know what's going on. Give it a little fucking.
Was the cat all right with the fucking, or was it like scrambling during?
I wasn't there, but I think that fucking, it was all right with it. I wasn't there.
Okay.
But no, people were there.
Yeah.
He admitted, he was like, yeah, I fuck cats. Like, it wasn't like a thing where he was going like, oh, the rumor is Anthony DeVito fucks cats. No.
He's like taking out an ad in the paper.
He's going, hey, no, guys, just so you know, no.
He's getting the word out.
I'm proud of it. The same way that Ian Fidance is proud of fucking trannies, the same way we were all kind of like, oh, that's fucking weird. This kid would wear it as a badge of honor, like he was progressive and cool. You know? I was like, come on, whatever, dude. It's just
but
cats.
There's a really famous cat he fucked that he can't say the name of on a podcast.
It was Heathcliff. And then, let's say...
It was
like,
Garfield on a Monday.
You say, fuck it. I'm not doing the blowjob from this cat. Okay? I'm not going to do blowjob. This is crazy. That sandpaper tongue, those teeth, not good, right? I'm just going to fuck this cat. Cat's pussy. Show a cat's pussy, Shannon. Pull up a cat's pussy on the big screen. They have prickly things that hold on to the cat's dick. Or is it the cat's dick that has prickly?
The cat's dick has a barb so that it makes the cat menstruate.
Oh, imagine a female cat giving a male cat a blowjob. Just fucking, they kill each other. Just spikes go through her head.
I do love Shannon having to sift through Google images of cat pussies.
I would love to see. Let me see a cat's pussy. I want to see the inside of a cat's pussy.
Oh.
Look at that. Let's say a pussy's pussy. Your cat has a clitoris. What are those spines right there? All right, let's see the cat's dick now. So, no, those are the barbs on his dick right there. Yeah. That's great. Imagine you had a barb dick.
That would make it even tougher to get dates.
Mm.
It's not helping.
Let me say, there's cat's dick. There's the barbs, yeah, to hold it in place because it's got that little pecker. Penile spines. Yeah. All right, and then the other problem is cats have fucking claws.
And powerful back legs.
And it's also a cat.
So, here's the problem. A lot of drawbacks.
Not really a lot of net.
See, even like with
it's
like,
a net negative. We'll say.
we're drawn
jury's
out.
Jury's
like
out. Yeah.
It's a full like pro negative. And con chart we're doing.
Listen, let's say you want to not even just rape this cat. Let's say you're trying to even go and be romantic with it. And you go to kiss it first, right? Like you put your hands on his face. Let's say she decides in the moment that she doesn't want that. Her fucking back feet are going to fucking bunny claw your dick.
Yeah.
And she's going to scrape up your whole dick. There's almost no situation where it's going to end well with your fucking cat.
Yeah. I don't think anyone would disagree. Except Anthony DeVito. Yeah.
He loved it.
Swears by it.
That guy's got... Where is he now? Where is he? He's going to be in a fucking padded room or fucking murdered a ton of people.
He's just a normal dude, man.
He's a vet.
Yeah.
I'll put your cat down.
Are there people who are like necrophiliacs with animals? I bet there are.
Has to be.
Is that a separate category? It has to be.
Necrobestiality.
Is that a category, Shannon? Shannon, how do you know it without Googling it? You dirty whore.
No, I was agreeing with the bestiality part.
Yeah. Then look up, see if there's such thing as necrobestiality. Because I almost feel like that shouldn't be against the law. If you find a fucking dead possum on the side of the road and you want to put your dick in it, I have no problem with that. That is the way God cleanses the earth of crazy people.
Maybe you don't need to go to jail, but I would definitely like them to make a note of it. Just so, like, if you try to get a job or move to a neighborhood, like, it's just...
In your permanent record?
Maybe you don't have to go to jail, but I just like a heads up if my new neighbor, like, legally I'm required to tell you I once fucked a dead possum. I'm like, thanks for the heads up.
No, that's okay. Let him do it, man. It's literally a victimless crime. Unless he's killing the animals. Because here's the thing. A dead body is not a victimless crime. You're defiling the relative of somebody, right? So there's a person who's going to be like, yeah, I don't want you fucking my grandma while she's dead in your fucking morgue, okay? You know, I guess, fine, pets. You shouldn't be able to fuck dead dogs or dead cats. But you should roadkill, tree creatures, animals from the forest, anything like that. You should be able to go on a safari, and then if you shoot an elephant, you should be able to just fuck its trunk.
What, the trunk?
Yeah. I feel like that's what it was made for.
You're presenting this weird world where it's like someone sees like a dead cat and they get excited, but then they walk closer and it has a collar and they're like, oh, God damn it. And they're like, maybe the collar wasn't here. And they just like hide the collar.
Shannon, if you ever pull up Urban Dictionary again.
Well, that's the only place it existed. That's what I was just going to tell you. All right. It's the only place.
You're not a big Urban Dictionary guy?
It's crazy. I want a real dictionary.
So if you bury the pet in a pet cemetery.
Ooh.
And fuck the zombie pet. What if it fucks you?
Because it's
a horny zombie.
Yeah, and it's not really a pet at that point.
I feel like that's illegal. I want that dead pet to go to prison.
My problem
is dead is better.
I feel like, I almost feel like while the pet's fucking you, it's going to try to kill you. Like you're sitting there, you're trying to like get into it, and you're like taking it, and you're like, that feels kind of good. I like that. Then the pet's just kissing you on the neck a little bit. Like, oh yeah, that's right, fucking zombie pet. Boom. Then boom, just takes a big chunk out of your neck. And now you're a zombie.
That's a pretty good way to die, though, if they really get the jugular, because it's like a quick bleed out.
I don't think so. I think if you get your neck torn out like that, a minute of agonizing pain as you watch yourself die.
Yeah, also there's...
As you gurgle, the last thing you hear is your own gurgling.
Yeah, but I'd rather do that than drown.
They're going to have to explain that to your family, too, and that's going to be a rough talk, where they're like, what happened? He was a tortoise.
He was
fucked to death by an undead tortoise.
Yeah.
Undead tortoise.
By the end, it was not consensual.
Worst blowjob from an animal: snapping turtle.
Cat is the worst.
No, dude, because they have it'll take your dick right off.
All right, pull up a snapping turtle's face. Okay, yeah.
I imagine a crocodile couldn't be that satisfying. No lips.
Yeah.
Big tongue though, big cushiony tongue.
I don't think a crocodile could control his snap enough just to get your dick. So he's gonna probably take off your whole belly.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's okay. I'd rather that.
Look at that thing. Are you kidding? Ooh. That is worse. Look at
how much money?
To be fair, his mouth is wide open. It does look like he's like trying to tempt you.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that tongue. Wet tongue.
I would take the balls clean off.
You think so?
Oh yeah. And not even blink. And just still stare at you with those fucking reptilian eyes.
It's a fucking horrible creature. They should get rid of turtles. That's another one.
I'm all right with sea turtles, man.
No, they should be extinct.
I was swimming, and I ran into some. It was really quite terrifying.
Why do we try to save animals? I got to be honest with you. Like, I'm being serious about this. Technically, if an animal's going extinct, isn't it supposed to go extinct? We're not supposed to create websites. Like, that wasn't part of nature's plan. I'm not going to say God's plan. But there is an order of things in nature. I even think, whether you're religious or not religious or whatever, there's ways that things happen in nature, right? Like, a spider kills a fly. That's fine. You don't save the fly. You don't go, we need to build a website. This fly, the spider's about to suck his blood. No, that's it. That's it.
I think the ones they try to save are the ones that are... like created or going extinct because of man-made shit. Where they'll be like, we build up houses here.
They're trying to save all the extinct animals, doggy. I'm telling you right now, they're not out there picking and choosing. They're going, if this thing's going extinct, we need to fucking save it. And I almost feel like, why? What was the fucking dodo bird going to do for us today?
Yeah, I mean, everybody...
the dodo bird turns out it's just a renewable source of energy.
The cure for cancer is like fucking...
It's like one dodo bird...
the best animal blowjob.
Yeah.
That's why they're gone.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone just fucked them to death. They're like, for some reason, as soon as man showed up, they just died immediately.
Yeah.
A lot of choking-related deaths.
But do you get what I'm saying? It's like, I almost feel like we're playing God. Give me the top 10 most endangered species, Shannon, right now. I feel like we are playing God by trying to save these animals. In my opinion, if we're going to play God, I say expedite the process.
I mean, we're also playing God by killing all these animals, too.
Yeah, we're killing a lot more than we're saving.
We're killing...
significantly
That's
more.
Part of the natural process. We're spiders and they're flies.
But
that's what's happening.
Way more...
What are the top 10 most endangered species? Pull them up, Shannon, on the big screen. I want to see them. What's going on out there? What are we trying to save? Is there a list?
Oh, the panda.
It says at the top, rhinoceros.
Rhinoceros. What the fuck are rhinoceri doing?
Giant panda.
They're pretty badass.
Giant panda. Fly.
Orangutan.
Well, we did talk on the last show about the prostitute orangutans, so they are fucking.
Porpoise.
A porpoise.
Nice dolphin, you know?
Oh, okay.
Lemur.
Oh, the polar bear, though, man.
Yeah. Okay, so these are, I mean, who cares, though? What are they doing? What has the polar bear done for us lately? The salamander, the Asian elephant.
Or the elephant. Jaguar's pretty badass, too.
Yeah. The red panda. I saw that one in a fucking in a zoo recently. Yeah, these are fine.
Salamander.
Everyone really gave you a pass on that elephant.
It was okay. Zach, it was on par with... You would have done the exact same joke had you thought of it one beat faster.
Oh, I missed my opportunity when you said build a website for a spider killing a fly.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, dude.
Tasmanian devil? Is that what that's about to say?
That's not even a fucking... That's a cartoon.
Look.
What an idiot. What an idiot
what
website
an
Google
idiot.
Is. What an idiot. The Tasmanian devil.
Oh, that's real?
Blah, 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 blah.
They spin in circles real fast? Yeah.
If we didn't have Tasmanian devils, the bunny population would be out of control. The fact.
So then we should keep the Tasmanian devil around to keep killing bunnies.
Yeah, but
I made the wrong point.
No, let him figure it out is what I'm saying.
Let him figure it out. We got to teach abstinence to these rabbits.
The problem is we have to get these rabbits to stop dressing up like female Tasmanian devils and confusing them.
Shannon, can I get another coffee, please? Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, look, dude. I'm not an animal hater, per se.
I would love just like an episode where you have a zoologist and you're like, defend all animals. why do animals
flowers,
have to exist?
I mean, I know. They tried to bring Ralph tried to fucking bring Shannon flowers in the studio.
Where are they from?
Some fucking dude probably sent her flowers. He's gonna interrupt my fucking show to give Shannon flowers. It is infuriating.
Well, she's gonna see the man.
Good. I don't want to interrupt my show for flowers. That's not what I wanted to talk about.
What if they were?
We talked
you?
About flowers 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
We
for
really
half
did.
An hour.
We really did, and I specifically said on the show, Bring. Send your girl flowers at work because that's the move.
It is.
Maybe he listened to the
Not
show.
Not during our time slot.
Yeah.
You know what? That was the takeaway from the movie Juana Man. Remember that shitty Mrs. Doubtfire ripoff, but with a black basketball player?
Yeah, I remember.
He sends her flowers, and he goes, just because it's Tuesday.
Shannon, did you get flowers, I heard? Yeah, I know. You want to know why? Because he was about to interrupt my fucking show with your flowers. And I was like, I don't want Shannon to feel good on the show. That's not the time.
I don't know where they came from. I don't know what the story is.
I'm assuming
it.
That they're
probably
from...
Probably fucking Dasani dick.
Real ass fan.
You, your boy, you're fucking the guy that you started banging.
Could be.
Probably. What if it's not?
I that's what I want to know.
What if it's from a secret
Ralph's
admirer?
Ralph's on the phone. Tell him to come in.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll do a flower segment on today's show, Shannon. We'll figure where they're from.
Okay. Flower segment.
So here's the deal. I want to talk about this really quick. R. Kelly apparently has six sex slaves. Not sex slaves, but six females that he keeps around. And they're like obedient bitches. Like they're around to fuck and suck and cook and do whatever the fuck he wants. He's got three in Atlanta, I think three in Chicago. I'm really just guessing right now, but I gotta say,
are you just naming places black people live?
I gotta say, R. Kelly just might be the real ass dude of the week.
He's a real ass dude. He's got a bad attitude. One might feel he's rude. He's a real ass dude.
Shannon, what exactly happened here? Do we have any information on this?
And are they trapped in a closet?
So what I have open right now is his response to it, because obviously he's denying all the allegations. But there were some parents of women that are of age that came forward to authorities saying that their kids, but not kids, were being sex slaves for R. Kelly. And the cop's response was basically that if it's consensual, there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, you're not a sex slave if you're fucking there on your own volition.
Yeah, I mean, the cop said specifically that they had talked to the people who are involved, and it's all consensual. I mean, the parents are mad because these kids have, like, cut off contact with
them
and shit.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Like,
here's the deal, right? R. Kelly is brainwashing these bitches and pissing on them.
Sure. 100%.
100%.
If it's fucked up, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
But if
probably
you...
paying them handsomely.
If you can be brainwashed...
Yeah.
Get out of the way. You know, you're just another fucking... You're another red panda. Beat it. We don't need you on our fucking team. Get out of here. You're just saying, I mean, what do you want me to say? You're another fly on the spider web.
So what you're saying is Robert Kelly has six sex slaves.
Yes, Robert Kelly. No, I'm telling you right now, I don't have a problem with this. I don't have a problem with, like, Charles Manson going and manipulating people to commit murders for him. I almost feel like they should have looked at what Charles Manson was and utilized him in a better way. He was a leader.
I think you need to watch that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was a leader.
I think you need to watch that documentary about him. It's crazy.
Which documentary?
The one that just came out not too long ago about it. He's fucking... He was, like, super, super charismatic. But he went to, like... He would go to, like, Haight-Ashbury and get all of these, like, 16-year-olds that were fucking kicked out of their house and homeless, and then just fucking bring them in, be like a father figure, fucking give them a ton of acid, have
that's
sex
the way you
with
gotta
them.
Do it. Yeah,
yeah. And then,
well, I mean, yeah, he's got to be super charismatic. He can't be like he has like this whole army of people willing to murder for him, but then you meet him and he just has like a really sweaty handshake and shit.
Yeah, he's Mike Lawrence.
He's got no confidence.
He does kind of look like Mike Lawrence. I just realized.
Yeah,
if you carved a swastika into Mike Lawrence's head on Photoshop and sent it to us at gasdigitalnetwork.com, it would look a lot like Manson. You know? But here's the thing. Like, yeah, if you're going to fucking be a cult leader, you're going to have a little pizzazz. Okay? That's it. All leaders do. You have to get people to want to like you. Right? That's a natural thing that anybody has. And if you can get people to like you enough to go and murder and rape other people for you, you should be working at Apple, Google, you know, just some sort of fucking huge company, because you are going to crush it. It's the same thing that made him... Look at him. The same thing that he's basically Steve Jobs.
Yeah, I see it.
There we go.
Did you know that whole Beach Boys time? It's crazy with that whole, he fucking got one of the Beach Boys to be in
In their house.
Yeah, he lived in their car. And then he basically, because the guy, you know, Charles, he just wanted to be a rock star. That was his whole plan. And then he fucking kept failing. And he went into this record producer and he was like, I want to do this song. And then the guy was like, no, fuck you. And then he put a bullet on his fucking nightstand. But then the crazy part is the Beach Boys, he gave a song to the guy from the Beach Boys that was in like the cult. And the guy from the Beach Boys took it to the Beach Boys, changed like three words around, and they released it. It's a real song.
Oh, I want
to
hear that.
That they have. That they released it. It's not one of their best songs.
I
want
to eat your soul and fuck your daughter.
Yeah, it's a
rape
fucking...
that baby.
I would like if it's actually just one of their fun songs. It's like Barbara Ann.
Yeah. No, it definitely wasn't like a top 10 of their songs.
Originally it was Kill All the Blacks. Yeah. They changed some of the words around.
Yeah.
I mean, the
Kill
melody...
Kill All the Hate is what they turned it into.
The melody's good.
No, but then, yeah, he ended up fucking... He went apeshit. That's pretty much what sent him on that course to be like, we're going to fucking murder people.
Well, that's why he picked the house they did.
Well, wait, that was
so
a crazy
he
thing.
Got mad because they released a song?
Well, yeah, but the record producer... Here's the thing.
I get it. It's like, Arish, if you're not saying my name, is it worth it? I don't think so.
But, dude, the guy who did the record producer, that was his house that they murdered those people, but the guy wasn't even living there anymore. It was Roman Polanski and his wife. And he just wanted to send a message to that record producer that, like, fuck you and fuck you forever owning
that's
this house. So these were just fucking innocent bystanders that also happened to be, like,
you got
a pregnant
fucking,
woman
you,
and a very famous.
You don't kill your enemies. You kill their close friends and family.
They're not even friends. It was just somebody who owned. That'd be like if I killed someone who lived in your old apartment. Whoever lives in your apartment now, if I went and murdered them.
If I got the message, though?
Yeah.
I mean, if it was like, hey, just so you know, that guy's dead because of you, it was still, it's still pretty powerful.
Sure.
You know? That's what you do. If you want to kill somebody or if you want to really hurt somebody or scare them, you kill their kid, right?
Jesus.
But you do it in front of one of the other kids. And then you send that kid on horseback.
Tell them what you saw today.
Yes. Tie it up and say, tell them what you saw.
Slap the horse on the ass.
Yes.
Never forget the J again.
Yeah.
Carve a J in him.
Yes. Damn, for it. If you want to make a message, that's the way that you do it. You have to leave a survivor. You have to brutally murder somebody's child. I play all my rules like Game of Thrones now. By the way, back. Has everyone watched?
Yeah. Never one episode.
You've never watched an episode?
Never once.
That's crazy, dog.
I'm not into that fucking fantasy weird Harry Potter shit.
I'm sick of people saying that.
Are you into Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So
but it has nothing
it.
To do with it, dude.
All right.
There's nothing to do with it. Okay, Harry Potter is a different thing, by the way. It's not even in the same fucking category.
Yeah.
Harry Potter is a fucking, it's a children's
Everyone
book.
Everyone told me, you know, once you get six episodes in, you're going to really start to love the show. I'm like, I'm not committing
two.
6 hours
two.
Of my life to be like.
You give episode one and episode two of the first season a try. If you're not in, then you're probably not going to be into it. I think you need two episodes. First episode's a lot of setup. The second episode, by the time fucking the window happens, you're in, bitch.
Yeah.
You're in, bitch. Plus, they put that chick Danny's titties in it so early. That it's like they really hooked everyone. That was part of the success of that entire show was Daenerys Targaryen showing her naked so early in it. And she was so beautiful. We had never seen something like that. Look, since then, her arms have gotten fat, and that's okay. But at the time, she was so hot. She was so ridiculous that you showed those tits and that ass, and you were like, fuck me, dude. I'm watching this again. And that kept me in.
But then they kept showing you flaccid dicks, right? That's what South Park has told me.
Yeah, there's some flaccid dicks in there, but that's okay, dude.
Yeah.
Got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I started watching like season four because I was like dating someone. So I've never seen the first three seasons. So all this stuff will happen and be everyone I'm watching with is like, oh shit, it's all coming together. And I'm like, yeah, I totally know what's going on.
You started watching
right now.
Season four?
Yeah, because that's.
After the Red Wedding?
With zero.
I've gathered that.
Do you know what the Red Wedding is?
I don't even know.
I've gathered that the wedding didn't go well.
I don't even want to hear.
Well, I thought you don't want to watch.
Well, I mean, if I'm going to watch, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
What's it's called the Red Wedding.
I'm
not gonna say shit.
Yeah.
But I mean this.
It doesn't go great.
Listen to me. First of all, shut up. That's too much already.
No,
it's called the Red Wedding, dude.
It could mean there's fucking people wearing red. There's a black wedding.
Okay.
Yeah.
They sing a lot of songs. They eat a lot of chicklings.
All right. Well.
You've never been to a black wedding? It's great. Very rare, but it happens. Listen to me. Okay.
The Black Wedding, Game of Thrones first courthouse scene.
Listen, go watch it. It's really fucking good. I won't talk about it. It was great though. The premiere happened. I'm in such a weird position. I never really get to watch TV. Like I do, but
like
it's like
week to week.
Like late at night. Like I what I used to do before I was like busy in my career, I would wait till the season was over. I would just wait 10 weeks and I would binge watch it all in a day.
Sure.
I don't have a day to give anymore to television or anything. I don't have a day to give at all. 7 days a week I work. So now I'll watch this weekly. I'm hoping that I can catch up on it weekly and keep it weekly. But It's the one show that I can't miss. It's just, it's so big. It's basically a movie every week. That's the way that I describe it. It's so big, and the stories are so fucking dramatic, and there's so many twists and so many plots. There's so many characters that it feels like a movie. It's not, it's just not a simple little fucking, what's your favorite show, Feeny?
Drama? I don't know. I mean, Sopranos, Breaking Bad, fucking The Wire. It's the fucking...
All garbage.
The three best dramas
all garbage.
In the history
of television.
With
you is you don't have an imagination.
It's the exact opposite of that,
it's
actually.
Too realistic. All the shows are...
Yeah, I like realism.
There's
two sides of
reality.
But I'm that way with video games now. Like, I can't play, like, fucking... Like Elder Scrolls.
He just plays video games
fucking,
with dudes who are too young to be married, getting married, and hating their life.
I play fucking sports games, and that's, you know what I mean? I want fucking, if I'm playing, I want war games, I want some reality.
Your company is flying you to Los Angeles. Do you A, bring your wife, or B, have fun with your friends?
It's like an RPG.
Shit.
Roll for stage presence.
Holy shit.
I'm on board, man.
Oh, shit. Comedian, the game of playing it safe in the industry with Mike Feeney.
Buddy, I'm on this podcast. This is not playing it safe. We talked about cat fucking for a half hour.
This game gets a lot easier when you learn to drive.
Yeah, it really does. Things open up for you.
Feeney's comedian game has the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Constantly being like, so you're gonna give me money for gas and tolls, right?
That's just it. Running Scopo off the road.
Yeah. Hit him with a banana peel.
It's like Mario Kart.
Stop going into your closer.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so fucking funny. The opener, the comedian game, it's like Mario Kart, it's just a bunch of openers in different cars. That's so fucking funny. I love that. I need to almost like, even like with like sad things, like it's hard, right? Like just being too based in reality, it's like I need to step away once in a while. I don't like watching, I never have. I've never liked watching sad movies. Like if a movie's like really fucking sad.
Oh, sure.
Like people are like, oh, dude, I just want a good cry. Who wants to cry? Like who wants to sit there? It's like, oh, I'm going to go watch some people have.
You can cry over some, like, powerful movies that's not sad. You know what I mean? Like Cinderella Man.
Did you cry?
I'm telling everybody that. I'm telling everybody that. Everybody I talk to that's a guy that's seen that movie, that fucking Russell Crowe when he's, like, fucking picking his family up at the boxer, he breaks his hand.
Is there something with his kid? Is there a moment?
It's all about his kid.
Oh, then that's it.
I'm
going to cry right now. They
try to send his kid away during the Depression. He has to fucking get a job. You never seen Cinderella? Well,
no.
You go watch that. I'll go watch Game of Thrones. We'll reconvene.
We'll fucking come back.
Did you watch Westworld?
I loved Westworld. Westworld's
fucking great.
Gave it two episodes, fell asleep both times in the second episode.
I mean, if you
Westworld.
Don't like the first two, it's not
going to
get better.
Yeah, you're not
going
to be into it. But
that's it. Yeah, yeah. So, no, but that's the thing. The thing I cry on now is if it's anything involving a father and his kids. Anything. It could be...
Pursuit of Happiness?
It could literally be anything. I didn't see that. But I won't. If I see that, like...
He found Nemo! Like the fucking... The Santa Claus. Fucking like...
Listen to me. That's the thing that gets me now. Okay, I could watch.
I'm your new nanny.
I can watch any movie that's supposed to be sad if it doesn't involve kid, like a parent and their child. I don't give a fuck. Okay, give me the top saddest movie, Shannon. There has to be a bunch of. I know The Notebook is
sure.
one. Right? What's The Notebook?
I don't know if it's sad. I mean, it gets sad.
Chicks
it's like,
cry in The Notebook.
You definitely at the end for sure.
You yeah. cried.
I'm just, I went to, I took a girl to, I was in high school when that came out. I took a girl to the movies to see that. Yeah. It's a powerful ending. I'll give you that. You know, you get a little froggy, but I mean, you're not going to.
Mike Feeney, Virgin, the video game.
I wasn't, I might have been a virgin at that point. I don't know what year that came out. I could have been.
So what are the saddest movies of all time, Shannon?
Titanic.
Let me ask you a question. At what point do you cry in Titanic?
I think you're supposed to cry when he dies at the end.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How is the death of a character on a fucking in a movie that's just some dude who's not leaving behind any family? He's leaving behind some fat bitch that he just met and plugged on a boat.
You know what's sad? I already Marley and me, that fucking Owen Wilson thing about the dog, and the dog's like their son, and then it Yeah.
The dog dies?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's a tough movie.
Pull up the scene where the dog dies in Marley.
You can't. You won't get sad because
no, I don't want to get sad. I want to see. I've never seen it. And
but
I
I'm
see
saying it doesn't
can...
make sense unless you watch the whole movie. You know what I mean? You're
I
invested
see this.
In the...
Let me see this. Be like dog dying scene from Marley and Me. Let's see. Pull it up on the big screen.
It's got goosebumps.
I never saw Marley and Me.
How does the dog die?
Just age.
I thought that was another Tyler Perry movie.
No.
Marley and Me, yeah. The problem is Owen Wilson's nose is so distracting in anything, it takes me out of the movie.
My dog's going to die. Wow.
Hey, Marley, my nose is really
Wow. Doggy cancer.
In order to make that face, they put a finger inside of her pussy. That looks like an extreme pleasure face. Doesn't death, like a painful death on a dog, also looks like she's getting fingered?
I want it to be like John Wick, where the dog dies of cancer and then he declares war on cancer.
Keep on playing, Shannon.
For a minute, as you know, we couldn't find a better dog. You know what made you such a great dog is you loved us every day, no matter what.
Every dog.
Every
loves
other
you.
Dog.
Yeah.
You know what makes you a great
you
dog?
You ate kibble.
You have eyes. And a tail.
The whole movie is like, it's when he gets a dog when he's a puppy, and they show it, you know, getting into hijinks and shit, and then as it gets, you know.
Yeah.
You could never make this movie with a cat.
No, you really couldn't.
No.
Because it wouldn't stay still.
Well, first of all, I mean, to be honest with you, even with the dog, I see people, like, freaking out about the dogs like this, and I'm like, guys, I got to be honest with you, like, it's an animal.
I am way more affected by... like an animal or a dog dying than I would be a person.
Everyone is.
Yeah.
Everyone is.
Yeah.
It's a thing that we do, and this is why Planet of the Apes was so great, because they made it a human animal.
By the way, sure. Another picking point with Ari Shaffir said it was a garbage trash heap of a movie.
He's a garbage trash heap of a fucking person, and all of the Jews deserve what they got in the Holocaust.
All right.
I'll make that very clear. Fuck Ari. If you believe that, you should have also died in the Holocaust. It was one of the greatest movies I've ever seen.
He said it was terrible. He said it was just like, oh, my wife, my... Oh, it was about kids and children. That's all.
Oh, oh my God. Jesus Christ. It really fucking... Oh, dude, it really got me. I cried like 7 times during the movie. I couldn't
what?
Handle it. I couldn't handle
really?
It.
Really?
Oh, it was brutal. The fucking monkey and his kids. It was crazy. Okay? But no, that's the thing. People care more about animals than they do about people. Do you remember in the movie Independence Day?
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. In the first 15 minutes of the movie, an alien spaceship comes down, and they obliterate half of Earth. Fucking laser beams. Like, it's even more. How many people die in that fucking opening scene where the spaceships come down over every major city and just create destruction?
Sure.
Chaos. Craziness, okay? It's like a thing. That's just the warm-up for the movie. People are just eating popcorn like, yeah, motherfuckers, let's rock. Aliens just showed up. This is a movie. There is one fucking scene where Will Smith's dog almost dies. Almost dies. Everyone in the theater is on the edge of their seat like they're fucking about to have their heart
broken.
He jumps
past a fireball in just the nick of time.
Like a fucking applause like you have never heard. It was chaos in the theater that this dog fucking survived.
Hell
and
yeah.
I was like, 9, and I was going, what about all the people? What about all of the families? Do you know how many dogs just died, everyone? Hello? Lots of dogs and canaries and cats and fucking turtles just died. Nobody cares.
I'm glad I wasn't in that theater. You're like standing up giving that whole monologue.
9-year-old Lewis.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up, kid. Sit on the front.
Yeah, I mean, it's like fucking John Wick. They kill his dog, and then he murders at least 100 people. But watching the movie, you're like fully justified.
Yeah.
Should have killed more.
Up is a sad movie.
Up is brutal.
Brutally. Yeah. And it's animated sad. And that's all about a child and like,
You know, Up kind of got me a little bit too.
Kind of.
Yeah, that even
fucking
just that
first
opening.
Scene.
Can
yeah.
I tell you why, though? Because it's misdirection. This is what they did, okay? This is what they did with that. This is why it was very small. Because I wouldn't have given a fuck about this old bitch dying. Old bitches are supposed to die. That's life.
It's not about her dying. It's about the old man alone.
He's supposed to be alone. One of them are supposed to die first. That's a thing that happens, Feeny. When people get old and fall in love, when you and your wife...
I don't believe it. You die
you
together
wife,
in a bed like,
no,
in,
your
like
wife,
in the end of the notebook.
Your wife
holding
is going
hands.
To
Same
die
time.
Before you.
No, I'll be dead long before
you. No, no,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, no,
we
I'm
have a pact.
How much you want to bet?
We have a pact.
Okay.
Lewis is going to murder your wife. That's what he's saying. He's like, I promise. I guarantee. He seems pretty sure about it.
But one of these fucking old fucks are supposed to die first, right? And that's just part of life. So it wouldn't really affect me. I would go, okay, an old person died. Who really gives a shit? And then you go, I didn't even like develop a relationship with these characters. This happens in the first 5 minutes of the movie. Yeah. This old bitch dies. And so on every level, you're supposed to go, like, I'm not supposed to care. Some old bitch that I have no connection to. I didn't just watch a 90-minute movie involving her where she died at the end. I'm a minute into this movie. This old bitch is dying. And somehow, I'm feeling a frog in my throat and my eyes are welling up.
That's how fucking good Pixar is, man.
They're good, but I'll tell you what they... Well, number one, that's Steve Jobs. Number two, it's because of Steve Jobs' involvement. Number two, okay... It was just like you were not.
She died of a cancer she could have prevented if she hadn't used holistic medicine.
Shut the fuck up. You don't put so much the name of Steve Jobs on this show. You know how I feel about him. It was misdirection because you were not. It was such a hard left turn so quickly that you weren't expecting it. It was like a punch in the gut, and you're like, whoa, that wasn't supposed to happen. It like almost took you off guard.
But imagine that was like a children's movie. Like, did James see that movie?
No, not yet.
I mean, that's like a fucking. That's a crazy way to start.
I think some of the kids wouldn't even understand, like the part where like she realizes that she can't conceive. I think if you watch that with a kid, I don't think they would even understand.
You gotta explain it to her. Her pussy's dead, James. Her cunt doesn't work anymore.
She's useless.
He's with James. Shannon, pull up a picture of dead grandma cunt.
Yeah. No, but as soon as that scene happened and we saw that she had a dead cunt, I was like, all right, well, will she die already? We got to move on. We got to get him a bitch that can conceive. And then years later, boom, she's dead.
I would love to be with you while you pitch stories to Pixar.
Yeah. That's the angle I would have taken with it. Yeah. So I think that I don't even know how I would explain that because my son doesn't really understand death yet. Like, he knows his grandpa Sid died. You know, he knows that he doesn't really.
It's more than the reason why that's sad. It's way because it's more than just death and loss. It's if you're sad for the man, because it's like this man, if he's been with her for fucking 65 years, however long it is, it's like his life has been like that's your other person. You know what I mean? Like there is no other side to it. Like if you were with somebody since you were 20 until you were 90 and then they died, it's like you don't know how to live your life without them anymore.
This is the story they don't show is that he was cheating on her the whole time.
Well, sure. And I mean, that's the.
It's an extended cut.
Was it? I mean, this also, he would get together in the 40s. He used to smack her around for, like, not having his dinner prepared. They don't show that whole other side of it. He's, like, at a fucking, like, a real mean streak.
Yeah.
He used to just sock her in the face.
She cheated on him with a black milkman.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, man, he was, like, a very violent guy. The little guy from fucking Up. But they don't show that in the movie. You don't see all that. Do you think it was just fucking. Roses and
PTSD
sunshine?
From World War II.
Is that what he was saying? He was in the war?
I mean, he's an old man, so I...
Maybe. But my kid doesn't understand death. We had a cat in the family die, Mittens. And he didn't... Like, we just told him that Mittens went to go live somewhere else in more space. So that's what he thinks that happens with everyone. Grandpa Sid is just roaming around a farm right now.
If you have to have a first death in your life, it's good for it to be a cat.
Yeah, but he's going running around with so many other happy grandpas. All the grandpa food he could eat.
Yeah. Big farm, real nice.
Yeah, yeah.
We send him upstate.
Yeah, there's going to come an age where you're going to have to be like, he's going to have to go to like his first funeral. I remember going to my grandfather's funeral and like not.
How old were you?
Under 10 for sure. Oh, I was probably like 7. I think I went and was, I wasn't processing what was happening. I was literally like going around. Giving out like cups of water to people who were like sad and crying. Like, I think that was my own coping mechanism that I was just like giving people water and just like, even when someone would like drink the water, I'd like immediately come refill it. I was like,
so Grandpa won't drink this water.
I was the water boy. Yeah. Spilling all over him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's weird. I mean, I think it's a little young. I don't know. I mean, what is the appropriate age to bring a kid to a funeral? I don't even know.
Open casket.
What's the recommended age on the internet? Because here's the thing, right? Back in the day before the internet, parents would just have to figure it out. You would just go to like.
I imagine it's somewhat determined by when people die in your family. Like, it's like recommended age is 6, and you're like, someone has to die now.
Well, no, hold on. But here's what I'm saying, though. Like, what is the appropriate age where if somebody dies, your grandpa dies or something,
sure.
Where you should take them because I'm sure there is a recommendation. I'm going to say that they recommend 10. I'm going to say that's the year that they recommend. What do you think?
I think there's also a window because I think there's a certain age where you can bring them because they're young enough that they're not even going to remember. So it's like, I imagine...
Oh, I remember.
Oh, it's just like Sesame Place to a 2-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, 2-year-old's not having any idea.
Yeah, yeah. I just tell him Grandpa's Cookie Monster. He ate too many cookies. He's napping. Yeah.
That's why we're crying.
What do you think? What age do you think is the age?
I mean, I was there. My family said seven, apparently. I guess it was.
That's
so.
Too young. I think my son's almost five. He wouldn't be able to process that. That's weird.
But that's people what I'm saying. But I didn't process it. And then the other
especially
thing,
if you're not religious, like, you know, if you're not trying to force religion onto a child, like, you're literally just having them experience kind of this heartbreaking thing. There's no real goodbye.
Yeah.
That's an Irish thing, too. That's why and that's also, like I said, whether it be a coping mechanism or not, where I'm just like, I'm just going to make people happy that are really sad.
Yeah.
I think I also just know nothing about kids. So, like, ballparking it, I'm like, 15?
10
or
sounds
six?
Right, but I mean.
10 sounds like the age. Well, I just think of myself. Like, 10 is the age where.
I don't think there's a right answer.
You almost. It's a weird thing. You cross into the double digits. I remember just being a kid being like, now I'm in double digits. It felt like a kind of coming of age, right? So I almost feel like you could. Fifth grade. Going into sixth grade, you could process something like that and I think be okay with it. Any earlier than that, I guess it's also dependent on the kid. But what do they say, Shannon?
It says that children should never be forced to view an open casket if they're frightened, but by age seven or so, most children understand the permanence of death.
Permanence of death.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm asking if they understand the permanence of death. I'm saying should you expose them to a fucking...
Yeah, well, that's what it's answering. It says a school-aged child is also old enough to attend a funeral.
Yeah.
Mm. I think your parents abused you.
I mean, I think open caskets are the fucking, no one needs to do an open casket. And they look nothing like the person. It's a horrible last image of it's the
yeah,
worst.
What's the point of doing that?
It stinks. I think when you're older, it's a stupid, I think it's good for Irish closure. Fucking, it's that Catholic fucking, like, we go look. They used to do it in the person's home. You know what I mean? They would have the casket in the home for 2 days.
Yeah.
You would come to the person's house and fuck, but yeah, I mean.
I think you can still do that, right? Technically, you can do really whatever
you
want
could.
With a dead body.
It's a weird tradition, but honestly, I mean, I think what's useful about it is, I think it makes it real. In a way that, like, is, I think sometimes...
It's closure.
That's what it is. Because it's one of those things where it's like, if you hang out with your friend and they're alive and you find out that they're dead, I don't know if it's like a morbid curiosity. I mean, I also realize as I'm saying this, not a super funny answer. But, like, yeah, I mean, I think that, like, it does make it real in a way that's useful. I think that's why it's become such a tradition for so long.
I haven't seen them in a long time. My grandmother's funeral was the best funeral I ever went to. She got cremated, so they just had, like, a picture of her there, and everybody, she was like, I just want there to be a party. And there was literally, we brought so much booze. We bought, like, at least $600 or $700 worth of alcohol.
Just body
and
shots.
And people got shithouse, dude. And it was fucking great. And everyone's, like, laughing, telling memories. A couple people, you know, occasionally looking at old pictures, they'll get a little teary-eyed, but then it's, like, back to champagne and shit. And I was like, that's... how I want my fucking funeral.
My mom was that way. My mom, because I mean, she had mentioned it before. I mean, even though she died suddenly, she had mentioned it before. So she didn't want a funeral. She wanted a celebration of life. So it was like this outdoor barbecue. And like, my mom was like super into cotton candy. So there was like fucking cotton candy and balloons. What's weird is like, there were kids at that funeral. I mean,
oh,
obviously
I didn't know your mother was retarded. That's cool. my mom loved petting zoos. It was strange.
Did you go to your mom's funeral?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was 22.
Oh, fuck. Never mind. I thought that was... What about your dad?
No, I was four.
Yeah,
no,
that's too young.
I mean, I remember when I was younger, I kind of...
That's my bag.
That's not my bag at all. I remember when I was younger, I wanted to go to my dad. I was kind of mad at my mom that she didn't bring me to my dad's funeral.
Yeah.
But I was way too young. I wouldn't have fucking known. I wouldn't have gotten, like... That's fucking heavy, heavy shit, you know? I almost feel like you need to hold on to... Kids should hold on to their fucking...
innocence, but you can't. With the
their innocence and happiness as long as possible.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna... It's gonna fucking... I almost feel like you gotta... In, like... You have to slowly unravel some of these, you know, harsh things in life to them. You know, you can't just be like, oh, well, you know, fucking life's hard, dude. Here's your dead grandpa. Here, look. Oh, you're never gonna see him again. You're like, all right.
I
buddy.
Mean, you don't do that, but yeah. That's what you would do. You just shove James's face into a casket. Smell it! Yeah.
Life's not fair. Yeah.
You put him in the casket and close it with it.
Here, fuck this cat.
And it all comes around.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's a weird thing. Those are the things that, like, in a weird way, we are kind of winging it, right? Like, you know, our parents' generations and their parents' generation, they were so much more fucked up than us that it's like they didn't really, like, know anything.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like now we're just, like, I'm not going to go based off of what they would have done. You know what I'm saying? Almost in any instance, sure. I don't go based off of what my mom would have chosen to do, you know? But, yeah, I think that's very young. I think that is pretty young. Shannon, I wanna get into this because we got some questions before we get out of here, but I wanted to really quickly do a Does It Live? Oh, I didn't send you the link? You dirty... I can't say it. Oh, also, I wanted to say really quickly. I didn't do this at the beginning of the show. I want to thank Anson Belt Buckles. Anson Belt and Buckle, I should say. Hold on, I gotta take my fucking belt off. They sent us a box of these belts over. They're fucking really cool, dude.
Hold on.
It's basically, they're custom belts. You can pick your different belts, straps, buckles, and it's fucking dope. It really is cool. You actually, like, cut it yourself to, like, the perfect size. It's a fucking dope-ass buckle. It's you either get three straps and two buckles, or three buckles and two straps for $100. It's pretty fucking dope. So they sent me them. Told them I'd give them a little plug on the show. So go check out AnsonBelts.com if you guys are fucking in the market for a belt. They really are dope. I'm not making it up.
So, do you wear pants?
Yeah. If you're in the market for
mass
a belt.
Mass market appeal. Yeah.
Shannon, just fucking Google it. I'm in the market Google for a belt. Dog says deer. Well, I guess we're going to know that it doesn't die. Either way, it doesn't actually fucking matter. There we go, Shannon. So, yeah, apparently there was a fawn.
So what? It's a great video.
Drowning in a fucking lake. Here, guy, pull it up. Is that it? Yeah, pull it up on the big screen.
Storm is trying to save this baby deer. I think he's trying to save him.
Oh, he's drowning him.
Storm, bring him in! Storm, bring him in! Good boy, Storm, bring him in! Good boy, Storm, bring him in!
How the fuck did that deer get out there?
Storm is saving this baby deer right this minute.
Oh my god.
Yeah, how did they get out there?
That's Marley. Storm. Marley.
Good boy, Storm. Good boy. Good boy, Storm. Good boy, Storm. Storm! Leave him, Storm! Storm! Storm, it's okay! Storm, leave him, okay?
Aw, look, he nudges him.
Good boy, Storm. Good boy.
That is a good doggy. Look.
Good boy, Stormy. Good boy, Storm, okay?
Aw. Now, here's the funny part.
That's why dogs are the best.
The news story, they didn't even have this. This is the video the guy posted.
Yeah.
It's funny, is the fucking baby deer runs back in the water after this.
No.
I swear
suicide.
To God.
Just trying to kill itself?
I swear to God, the news reporter was like, yeah, so, I mean, we think that maybe the dogs, like, freaked out the deer after it came back to it. It just ran back and jumped in the water. And they'd have, like, human beings come and save this deer again. But I don't like how they fucking played it like this dog saved this deer's life. No.
And he did once.
No, he tried to, and then the deer ran back in, and the dog was like, fuck it. And then human beings saved the life. Let's stop giving dogs credit for everything.
Did you just hear your voice when you were watching that and went, oh, it's such a good dog. Like, you were fucking all over it, and that's why they released it.
I didn't watch the whole video in real time. It was very sweet.
When he was whimpering? Come on.
I mean, wonder if that dog would have ripped that deer apart had that dude not. Because he's like pulling the deer over, like in a secluded area, and the dude's like, no. And then the dog's like, oh, is he okay?
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah,
right about to like rip it to shreds.
Yeah, maybe. You know. So, but fuck it. That's the life. It's a circle of life.
Yeah.
It's a circle of life. It's a puppy. I know the lyrics. All right. Let's fucking get some questions going.
Give me a fucking answer. 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 Give me a fucking answer.
I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
All right, here it is. Real Ask Questions. You know what's up. Morning of the show, Mondays and Wednesdays. I will post something to Instagram, Facebook. You can also go to the website, gomezcomedy.com. On the contact page, you can post your questions there. Just make sure you put Real Ask Questions in the subject line. Or Instagram, guys. My Instagram story is the best way to do it. I like people engaging with my story.
I love how you went from fuck stories to being way into it. More than anybody I've ever met.
Fuck up, Mike Feeney. Always talking.
How many
shit
have you posted today? Stories.
It's a couple. Ortiz 2619 wants to know, will you turn Shannon into a cam girl to make up for the income from Sirius? Shannon, will you be a cam girl? Put yourself on camera. Show everyone what the fuck's up. Shannon, can you do like a little like shoulder shake? Not your boobs, your shoulders. I'm saying they like shoulders, my fans. No? Okay. I tried, guys.
Let's see. We got another one here. What do you guys think of comedy magicians like Penn and Teller, the Amazing Jonathan? Do you consider them comics?
No, I don't consider them comics. It's a different thing. There's like one man show, like what John Leguizamo does. It's something that, I mean, I enjoy it. It's not stand up though, and that's kind of how I see the Penn and Teller.
If anything, that's more prop comedy than magic tricks are, you know.
Yeah, Amazing Jonathan back in the day when he was alive.
Yeah. I enjoy it. Yeah. I like it.
I enjoy it too.
It's a different thing. Yeah. It's just a different form of entertainment. And if you try to compare it to what Louis C.K. does or Bill Burr does, like, it's not the same thing. It's more impressive, really. I mean, when it comes down to it, like what Penn and Teller do, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I have a difficult time giving a ton of respect to comedians for the sake of being comedians, right?
Sure.
Telling jokes. It's incredible, and to do it at the highest level, obviously, it's incredible, but I do it, and I do it at a fairly high level. I mean, I'm a professional comedian in the hardest city to be a professional comedian in the world, and I work at most of the clubs. So I think I have a pretty good fucking perspective on what being funny is.
Sure.
And because I'm in that world and I do it professionally, it is very difficult for me to go like, oh my God, wow, stand-up comedy. When I see somebody play a fucking guitar solo, I'm like, holy shit, I can never do that, you know?
Right.
I think any comedian who's, you know, trying to be successful, they see what Louis or Bill Burr or anybody, even on the highest level, you go, fuck, dude, not only do I want to do that, I can do that. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be trying anymore. We're all trying to strive for that fucking level.
Yeah.
Most of us will never get there, but, you know, that's just the truth. Let's go with probably get one or two more questions out. I know we're running a little bit late. Here we go, boys. Madeline Arias, why have you been saying doggy so much lately? I don't know, doggy. Zach Renike wants to know, has Gas Digital reached out to Opie? If you become his boss, do you think he will finally allow you on his show? We have not reached out to Opie. I will say we do not have much interest in working with Opie.
No.
Yeah. I mean, look, I guess if Opie wanted to do a podcast on the network, we could have a conversation. That'd be fun.
Considerate. Lewis walks out and makes a phone call.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Should do that right now. Let's see. These are all shitty questions, guys. These are all shitty questions. Not my fault.
I have the one that you sent me. It's just
Is that one, Shannon? Give me that one.
It's long.
Yeah, read it.
Okay, what are your, Zach's, and the guest's opinions on the world's lack of black female degrading porn? There's a wealth of porn involving black dudes destroying white pussy as the girl raves about how huge they are compared to white guys, all while screaming in pleasure for their N-word dicks. However, I've yet to find...
Wait, what was that, Shannon?
Did he write N-word or did he actually write the word?
No, he wrote the word.
What word?
The N-word. However, I've yet to find any porn where a white guy fucks a black girl and calls her his N-word. Bitch, as she compliments him for the financial security and the better life for more intelligent children will have.
Jesus.
Oh, man.
Wait, there's more. There's more.
The more intelligent children.
This guy sounds great.
No bullshit. This is
signed, Louis J. Gomez.
No bullshit. This is something to which I'd actually enjoy jacking off. In parentheses, I'm no stranger to beating it to the standard black on white degrading vids. And for any lefty bitch listening, you aren't allowed to criticize my desire because that's kink shaming.
That's kink shaming. Okay. Well, no, look, I'm not.
First of all, you need to expand your searches.
Yeah, it exists, motherfucker.
Because there's that one guy that does all the super degrading shit, and he has, like, horrendous ghetto bitches on all the time. He says horrible things to them.
You could find it. You could find it. If you really searched, you, my friend, are not really looking on the right websites. Go to XNXX Lobster Tube, one of those bad boys. You'll find it.
E-fucked, brother. E-fucked.
I can't. No, but E-fucked isn't searchable like that. Like, they have a lot.
Spank bang.
You need a website that has, like, everything. XNXX pulls from, like, everywhere. They're one of those websites that, what do they call it?
Aggregate?
Searches? Aggregates, yes. Yeah. So it's like, dude, you have, like, everything. Just search racist white guy. Trust me. I promise you're going to be able to fucking find it. I have a difficult time jerking off to black porn. I have a difficult time jerking off to porn if the dick's too big. I don't understand how a man can fantasize about being, if you're a white man, fantasize about being a black guy. Yeah. Right? Isn't that the fantasy? You're imagining your dick is doing what's happening? Like, when I'm jerking off to porn and the girl's blowing the guy, I'm imagining myself getting blown by that girl in that moment. When he comes, I like to time it up when he's coming. Like, I'll rewind it and
I like to time up my cum shot.
Wow, that's a lot of production.
Is that crazy?
Not same.
I sometimes I'll fast forward to see the cum shot, like, oh, that's gonna be a good one. Then I'll rewind it a little bit. I really get it going.
Yeah.
Shannon, you getting turned on? Prove it.
Prove how?
So yeah, I don't understand how people fantasize about like anything but their own selves. Like, I need to, if I find a fucking bald Puerto Rican guy with anger problems in porn, that's the one I'm going to every time.
I feel like they don't have that for safety reasons for the female actresses.
Maybe. But. Maybe. So yeah, that's, I think that it exists though. If you guys really want it out there, you could find basically almost any type of porn. Racist white guy porn, slave porn, I'm sure there
except
is.
Except for necrobestiality, we learned earlier.
I bet you that it exists. Cat, I bet you could find somebody there. Fucking
it's
a dead cat.
It's a fun challenge for your listeners. Find the videos. Send them.
Yeah. Send me over some necrobestiality porn. I would love to see some of that.
Love?
Yeah.
Love strong.
I use that word very easily.
Strong word, dude.
All right, look, that's the show. Thank you so much for listening to the Real Ass Podcast. It's another one in the books. I am Mike Feeney on Twitter. David Kinney, K-I-N-N-E-Y on Twitter.
Yep.
Zach is not funny. I am Shannon Lee at Louis J. Gomez at Real Ass Podcast at Gats Digital. Believe you me, probably starting twice a week. Hopefully, guys. I think so. No longer an employee of SiriusXM, but you guys are fucking cool. You know what's up. We'll survive, bitches. Go subscribe to Gats Digital. That's what you can do to help out. Subscribe using the promo code RAP. All right. We'll check you on Monday. Peace.
That's all, folks.